Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends on this Tuesday. How do we recognize what I call the fingerprint of God in our world? By that I mean something occurs which is only explainable as God intervened miraculously in a situation or a human life or a relationship or what some might call a natural disaster. Perhaps you remember the sorcerers of the Egyptian pharaoh used that phrase when they were unable to duplicate, nor stop, nor reverse the plague of gnats, which came on people and animals everywhere in Egypt, when Aaron obeyed God and struck the ground with his staff, according to Exodus chapter 8. Today, may I draw your attention to the fingerprint of God in the town of Philippi in Macedonia about 2,000 years ago. Yesterday, we watched as the Apostle Paul and his traveling companions, Silas, Timothy, and now Dr. Luke, arrived for the first time in Central Asia. They arrived by ship at Neapolis, Macedonia, having come from Troas, where Paul had a dream in which he was convinced God had directed him to Macedonia. We could certainly call that dream a fingerprint of God, for it changed Paul's life, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was taken beyond the frontier into Asia, according to Acts 16. From Neapolis, Paul and his team hiked the short distance of about 10 miles, arriving in Philippi, where we left them yesterday. Philippi is described by Luke as a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, Acts 16, verse 12. That means it would have had several high-ranking Roman officials, a significant contingent of Roman military, certainly a big tax office, and would be a major business hub for that region. As the Sabbath came, normally, Paul would have gone into the synagogue to meet with the Jewish men and challenge them to consider Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. But it did not happen that way. Luke writes, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a quiet place of prayer." This tells me Paul and his team were experiencing a significant culture shift. Jews were evidently few in this Greek place, and the Sabbath was probably a normal, busy business day, just like every other day. Religion was not a priority in this city. Roman law and business were priority here. Pause. On Sunday, what's different from all other days in the town where you live? What about your lifestyle and mine? How is our Sunday schedule different from other days? Do we dress differently? Do we do different things on Sunday from other days? And what about our attitudes, our minds and hearts, even our priorities? Are they different on Sunday? If yes, why? If no, why not? Some women were there at the river, some perhaps washing clothes. I've seen that in several third world countries, even the one where I grew up. Perhaps others were drawing water for household use. Maybe others were simply enjoying some quiet time away from the busyness of the city. Paul, never to miss an opportunity, started speaking with the women. Luke writes, "One of those was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God," Acts 16, verse 14. Perhaps Lydia was doing business here, or maybe Lydia and a few other women were also seeking a quiet place to pray, since Lydia was a worshiper of God. In that moment, an unseen fingerprint of God occurred. Luke writes, "The Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us," Acts 16. Do you see what God did here? A businesswoman who was a worshiper of God heard and understood the gospel Paul proclaimed about Jesus Christ. And evidently, Lydia trusted Jesus to be her Savior. Lydia moved from being a religious woman to being saved from her sin condemnation and adopted into the family of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Lydia was transformed by the power of God, and she became a genuine Christ follower. Now we need to pause a few seconds here. Do you understand the difference between a person who is religious or who believes in God and worships God, or who might even be devout in observing their religious traditions, but is not yet saved from their sin by Jesus, and an authentic born again by the power of God follower of Jesus? The religious person holds to beliefs, traditions, and ceremony. The born-again follower of Jesus holds tightly to a personal relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, God's Son, and is guided by the Holy Spirit of God who lives within them. Lydia moved from religious to relationship with Jesus and became, as far as we know, the first authentic Christian in Philippi. It appears she was baptized, probably by Paul, in that river at that time, and then invited Paul and his companions to her home, where the rest of her household heard the gospel and trusted Jesus and were also baptized. The euphoria of Lydia's salvation turned pragmatic quite quickly. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke were travelers needing lodging and food and a place from which to begin bringing the gospel to Philippi, and evidently Lydia invited Paul to use her home in Philippi as that place. Now, wait a minute. Luke identifies Lydia as a dealer in purple cloth, a businesswoman from Thyatira. Thyatira was nearly 300 miles from Philippi. Perhaps, like many traveling successful business people, Lydia had both a home and a place of business in Philippi, which was large enough to accommodate Paul and his companions. Perhaps Lydia was on a business trip, soon moving on to other cities and towns where she would buy and sell purple cloth. What we do know is that God miraculously opened the heart of a special and generous businesswoman, who then provided for Paul and his companions both lodging and a place to plan their gospel strategy for Philippi. Let's pause right here, and I urge you to take pen in hand. Reflect back on your life. Can you remember some situations which would qualify as the fingerprint of God in your life? Jot those events down in your journal, and perhaps a sentence or two which describes what God did and how it changed your life. Might you be poised for another such fingerprint of God experience in your near future? Here's a really important question. Have you explained the work of God in your life and your family with enough clarity and passion that your children and grandchildren understand? Do they believe your stories to be true? Have they experienced the fingerprint of God in their lives, and are they on the alert for another miraculous experience with God at any time? And I'll be here tomorrow, ready for you.